Welcome to the 8 Billion Project, where we're on a mission to make an impact by discovering and sharing the purpose of every person on this planet. I'm your host, Lisa Florida. Enjoy today's episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 8 Billion Podcast. I am your host, Lisa Florida. And today we have a special guest. We have Trish Nanku. Trish is a woman who is consistently working every day towards self-development and awareness using her life lessons. She realized that through this journey, there are men and women who are seeking the same thing, but society we live in today can be so tainted that trying to be honest in our own skin is sometimes a task. What she needed was honesty, bluntness, and people to just be real with her. That is why she started her podcast, Strong Talk. To be real, have strong conversations, honest conversations, and show others that it's okay to be vulnerable and it's okay to not be okay at times. Mm-hmm. Trish has 3 children and her main focus in life right now is to be the best example to them so they can be better human beings while living authentically. Welcome, Trish, to the 8 Billion Podcast. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. It's a pleasure to be here. It's just a pleasure to be around like-minded women and just around strong women. So I really appreciate you having me on the show.
No, absolutely. You know, it's interesting though. I've had just this network of women. You know, once I posted Genesis, who is actually the lady who introduced us together.
Yeah.
Once I posted Genesis, I had a slew of just women actually coming on because it was just so empowering. I've had other women on my podcast, but for some reason after Genesis, it was just like the universe kept delivering me like these really strong, powerful voices.
It's a different energy, right?
It is a different energy. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's just like what we were talking about. It's like the laws of attraction.
Yeah.
You don't, you know, like once they identify, you know, and you share the space together, then they're all like, oh, I know some other great people I'd love to introduce you. And it has not stopped since I've done Genesis interview. It's led to so many, probably half of a good number of my season 3 right now.
Yeah. And the thing is that meeting these women for me, and I'm not sure how it was for you, but it motivates me to just keep pushing and going on because you're meeting these women, you're talking to these women who share somewhat of a vision that you're looking at. And it's just the encouragement and knowing, you know what, these women are doing it. They're kicking butt. And you know what, why am I trying to hold myself back? You know, and the thing is that meeting Genesis, meeting you, it's such an uplifting energy that just keeps me going. I'm not sure if you've had that, but having these women, even on my podcast as well, they've influenced me. And
absolutely,
wanting to be better, you know, and it's so, I was telling someone that I knew a few months ago that growing up when I was younger, I never heard my aunts or my females around me talk about women who were influencing them or uplifting them. So I never really grew up seeing that, right? So to have this in my life at my age and hearing and feeling this with other women, it's just on a different level.
No, it really is. You know, it's interesting though. I had a very strong mother, like a very influential mother, strong in business, strong in morals and principles. And it was crazy because growing up, I had a lack of confidence. I was almost opposite my mother. And I lost my mother in 2018, but she's been the greatest inspiration. In fact, where I thought, you know, I do real estate as my career, but where I thought I was trying to fill the footsteps of my mother, what ended up happening was I feel like her divine guidance, and it's led me to bringing out my own skills and talents. And it ended up being here in front of the camera or speaking on podcasts and connecting with people.
Yeah,
I just got authentic and real with myself and not ashamed for things that I thought growing up were like things that I were ashamed of, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know you talk a lot about that, right, Trish? I mean, could you give us a little background first about how you started your podcast, Strong Talk?
Yeah, no, definitely, for sure. So for me, I left a relationship that was really hard. I have 3 children, and I left their dad about 7 or 8 years ago. And it was a really hard relationship. It was a very abusive relationship. And when I left that relationship, there was a lot of trauma that I needed to deal with, but not just with myself, with my children. And the thing is that not having family support and not having anyone around, because I don't have my parents, right? It forced me to really look deep inside myself, and really, I had to do this by myself. So seek help, you know? And when I say seek help, I probably tried 12 to 13 different counselors, because I don't know, I think a lot of people get deterred when they go to counselors because they're like, they don't help me. The thing is that you have to find someone who you click with. And it took me quite some time to get there, right? But it was during this journey or during this time, I realized that I had a lot more issues than what I had with in that relationship, and then what was happening with my kids. It was stemming back to my youth. You know, I had abandonment issues because my parents never took care of me. I had different aunts taking care of me, and I had to deal with those emotions and deal with those issues, plus deal with what happened for those 17 years. And talking to some of these counselors, reading books, a lot of it just felt like fluff to me. I'm a very direct person, right? I want people to give me feedback. You know, don't give me something that is calculated or that's from a book. If you listen to my story, say, Trish, you know what? This is where I think you went wrong, or this is where I think you can do better. Or Trish, this is where you definitely went wrong and where you could do better. At that point in my life, that's what I needed. And I really wasn't getting it. And social media doesn't make things any easier, because you're seeing people living these fantastic lives and you know, just beautiful. But you know personally these people behind closed doors, their marriage or their relationships or they themselves are just a wreck. And you just have to question yourself. And I was questioning the things that I was putting out there in social media or what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So when I started my podcast, I said to myself, you know, there's so many women or so many people that I've known, like when I was working, because I was in a manager, they would talk to me and they'd say, Trish, you know what? You give such great advice. And I was just sitting one day and I'm like, I give such great advice, but I don't take good advice. I don't really follow my own words, right? So I need to hold myself accountable. And my daughter came to me, and my daughter is 22. She's like, you know, the things that you've been through, Mom, the things that you're even working on, because I used exercise as a way to fuel some of my hurt. You know, mm-hmm. I was trying to find different things to be authentic and just move on with my life. And she's like, you're strong. You know, these are things that you can share. Why don't you do a YouTube video? Or do a YouTube channel. But at that time, I really wasn't comfortable being in front of a camera. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's that I lacked the confidence or I really couldn't see myself in front of the camera. So I heard about podcasts. I used to listen to a few of them, and I picked up the mic one day and I said, you know, this is what it's going to be about. And that was literally therapy for me. Mm-hmm. Talking about what was happening, talking and just being honest. And the thing is that when I started getting feedback from men and women saying, you know, listening to your voice and listen to the vulnerability and the honesty and listening to someone be that open, it kind of have them ask themselves questions. And I'm like, well, if that's what I'm doing, and there's this Nipsey Hussle quote, you know, the highest human act is to inspire. Yes. And yeah, and that when I saw that and I heard that, I'm like, if I can inspire one person to live in their truth or just be authentic or just mm-hmm. have them ask themselves those questions, those thought-provoking questions that could probably lead to change, then I feel as though I'm doing something good. So that's how Strong Talk started and how it's evolved to what it is today.
No, that's amazing though. I mean, and like, you know, I tell a lot of my guests or I tell a lot of my audience that the biggest part of me starting the podcast is I thought, you know, I was going to interview people and tell stories and all this kind of stuff. But every time I'm here and I share space with someone, right, mm-hmm. it heals me because there's yeah. a connection that you have, especially when the podcast is really true and authentic, that the person is an open book and willing to mm-hmm. be vulnerable with their experiences, because that's the only way we really will only heal.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing is, and it's so funny that you say that because I realized that the moments or the times that I'm being honest with myself and how I feel and who I am, it's a time that I attract people or I have people around me that, you know, they're trying to do the same or they want to find a way and I'm helping with that or they're helping vice versa. And the more honest that I am with myself is the better the relationships I have with the people that are around me, mm-hmm. which I value.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because I was telling you too, before we got on camera, I said, I came across your podcast interview in Bite the Bullet.
Yeah.
And I was listening to that and it's true. Like I'm here uncovering stories of other people and asking vulnerabilities. And yet one of the things that I just recently did was I it's not actually out yet, but I recorded a video. It was a 5-minute video. It was supposed to go on my website for my About Me, but it really talked about a really dark time in my life. And I started to realize it wasn't on purpose that I wasn't sharing it. I was, you know, for me, when as a podcast host, you're here to interview the person, right? And uncover that. And yet I had not shared a lot of those things that really connect myself with a lot of human experiences out there. And so I did that video. I mean, I think it's going through editing right now, but it'll be out. So there you go, audience. You're gonna see a 5-minute video. But it literally, I mean, even though I came from a very, you know, like a family in real estate and we did very well, there was a time I had to leave the business. And I mean, it came down to like having nothing. My credit was ruined. I worked on a food truck. I often didn't know what I was gonna do in my life. And I was just like, How is this? It was very lost time in my life.
How did I get here?
How did I get here? And then on top of that, you're talking about relationship issues. I had attracted, it was hard because I'd always been very open in my relationships. Mm-hmm. And I just thought everyone was like that. But I tend to have attracted a lot of narcissists.
And you know what I'm going through, and I said to you earlier, like I'm having a hard time the last couple of weeks is because I keep letting this narcissistic person back in my life over and over. And it's like, am I not learning? And the thing is like you, I'm talking about these episodes. I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about evolving. And I had to say to myself, am I evolving? Like sometimes you have to really take a look at yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And what you said just now is like meeting these people. I think before I started the podcast, you know, you would have the shame about things that are going on in your life, or you would think maybe you're the only person going through this. But through this podcast and through meeting people like yourself or anyone, you realize that there's so many people going through what you're going through that think that they're alone. And by sharing it on these types of platforms, it's given them the ability to heal. It's given them the ability to open and be honest and not be ashamed, because I'm not ashamed of the things that I've been through. I was at one point in time, because that's how you're brought up. You're brought up to, oh, if certain things happen, you know, don't bring shame to the family, or
yes,
like that, right?
Very much like that.
Mm-hmm. Mental health in the minority community is shunned upon. So it's like, okay, I can't even say that I'm going through postpartum depression. I can't even say that I'm depressed, because, you know, I will get it from my family. What the hell are you depressed about? That's the first thing that will come out of their mouth, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, right? So it's like learning, it's like meeting people and knowing that you're not the only one, or even hearing it on these podcasts, knowing that you're not the only one, it helps people. And I was saying, it's like, I'm trying to deal with a situation right now in my life, and I know how hard it is. Like, I think people see us and they think, oh, is it that easy? No, it's for every day I get up, I have to work towards that goal. You know, I have to make a conscious decision. Absolutely. I have a sign above my bed that says, today I choose to be happy. I see that every day, but sometimes there's things that get in the way. But I have to make that conscious effort every day to try to not let certain things come into my space.
No, and it's amazing because you never know in a podcast where it's going to lead, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's the best part of the podcast. You just leave it as an open book and let's just get into conversations, because this is as if we were going to meet and as if we genuinely met in person and then just had a conversation.
Strike up a conversation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But you know, it's interesting though. I feel like I had just my son is 17 and I was pretty much single since I've been a single mother since I think his father and I split up at 10 months. And of course I've had relationships in between, nothing that has lasted very long. Mm-hmm. And it was a series of just the same guys, different name tags. And I was just like, what is going on here? I was like, what is my karma and why does the universe have it in for me? Then of course it just took me saying enough is enough. And I had to just turn within. And I realized that there was a lot of myself it's so cliche to say love yourself, because you think, oh yeah, I love myself. But if you really take a deep look, right, it's about creating healthy boundaries. It's about recognizing codependencies that you don't even realize you have.
Yeah, that is me, because, and like I said to you, the thing is that when I was going through that phase, it's not like I was trying to learn to love myself. I was learning to figure out who the hell that person was in the mirror, because there was a point in time I didn't even recognize myself. Like, I'm like, who? Because I lost myself in the relationship I was with my kid's father. I became someone that I really wasn't, that wasn't my personality. You know, I turned into someone really ugly. And I realized that ugliness and the things that I said, the things that I did, it just ruin me, but it ruined my kids to a certain degree. So I had to rebuild myself and also my relationship with my children. I mean, it's not that I have a bad relationship with them, but I didn't want them to think that the person that they saw growing up, that that's who I was. And I've been able to do that slowly but surely. I've been able to do that with them. But the codependency issues, the abandonment issues is like, I think there's a certain time I thought I was going crazy. But men who are narcissistic makes us women think we're crazy when we're not really crazy.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. And then to be in it for 17 years, you don't know anything else. No. At times you just think you're just trying to survive it. You know what I mean?
And then I get out of that, and I didn't date for about 3 years after I left that relationship. And the thing is that the first person that I met after I left that relationship, I started a real relationship, but I don't have experience in dating, and I'm like, you know, I need to have experience. But then when I met this guy, you know, it was so great, but he ended up being a narcissist, and I stayed with that for 4.5 years. And I'm like, yeah. And even though after 2 or 3 years, you know, I found certain things out, I said to myself, Trish, your biggest issue and the thing that you realize that you learned from your first relationship was, you don't know when to leave. You don't know when to give up. You always think people are going to change. You always want to give chances. You know what? Stop giving people chances with your life, with your heart, with your mental health, right? And I think a lot of us women, we don't listen to our gut. And the thing is like our gut is probably the our sixth sense.
It is, you know? Yeah. It is, right? Your guide to everything.
It is your guide, totally. And that's what I had to sit back with the last couple of days. And I'm like, Trish, you're 43. What are you doing? You are trying to inspire and motivate people. You're trying to help people out. Why don't you start by helping out yourself and take some of your damn advice? Listen, and that's why I went back and I listened to some of my shows, because I'm like, you know, I'm listening to these women, I'm listening to these men who've also had a hard time and had mental health issues and bad relationships, giving me advice, and we're talking, and I'm like, that's you talking there, but you are allowing someone else to break you down. Why? Mm-hmm. Right? And that's why I said to myself, no, I really need to, if I want to be really live authentically and be authentically, I need to listen to myself. I need to listen to the things that I'm putting out there and actually take the advice in return, because then I'm doing exactly what I see other people doing in social media, which is putting stuff out there, but living a totally different life.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let me ask you, how long into that 4-year relationship, if you're open to talking about it, I'm pretty sure this is going to start attracting all the women that are like, I have this tendency, women out there, if men and women, right? And it's not just men that are, there's women that are narcissists. So I'm not just pegging a certain gender by any means. No. But Patricia, how long into the 4 years did you start to realize you were dating a narcissist?
Here's the thing. Because when I left my 17-year relationship, there were things that I tried to change with myself because I thought I was crazy. So, you know, if I saw something on a phone or if I, if they gave me an excuse and it didn't add up, you know, like I don't want to ask questions because you don't want to seem like that woman who's a nag, or you were told for 17 years that, you know what, you're crazy, you know, there's no other person. So when I started in this relationship, I noticed things from the get-go, but I said, you know what, Trish, you need to be different. Don't question certain things. Let's go with the flow. Mm-hmm. And when I look back, there were signs from the get-go, but because, you know, I think I was almost 40 at that time. I had it in my head because my ex put it in my head. Oh, you have 3 kids. No man's going to want you. You know, I said, you know, this guy loves me. He's here with me. We're dating. You know what? I'm not going to blow things out of proportion. And as things progressed and I realized that, you know, when people say they love you or you're in a relationship, certain things don't happen. Certain things shouldn't happen. Certain things should be missed, like your birthday or certain things with your kids, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when I started questioning. And, you know, the lies just became out of hand. And I'm like, I don't understand this. So I actually found out that he was married like almost 3 years after. He had told me he was divorced and stuff like that. I found out he was married. And the reason why this relationship even continued after I found that out is that we stopped talking. But he came back to me and told me several times that he moved out, he's getting a divorce, and he's living with his mom. Introduced me to people, and I thought things were fine. So I kept giving him chances. But in the back of my mind, I can feel something was wrong. But I didn't want to believe that, okay, he knew my past. He knew my trauma from my past, especially my past relationship. I don't think anyone is that, I don't know if the word is narcissistic or that disingenuous, that they would know what I went through, that they would want to hurt me like this. I didn't want to believe that there's people like that.
Very true.
Right?
Yeah. Because you also gauge from where, that's the hard part, is you gauge from where you think you're going to operate. Yeah. And you can never give everyone the same benefit of the doubt because,
And the thing is that he's a good guy. Like, I think the thing that really caught me was my last relationship, I never had communication. The communication that I had with my kids about was always yelling. It was fighting. It was, we couldn't even have two words together. And then we start arguing and fighting. We never could have a conversation.
Yeah.
This other guy, we can talk for hours about anything. We never argued. And that was something different for me. So I like the fact that I had that connection with somebody that I can have a conversation, that there was no argument, that there was no fight. No one was calling me degrading names. No one was yelling at me.
Yes.
No one was putting me down. So I was looking at that. Okay, you know what? No, this guy, he must love me because he doesn't argue with me. He doesn't. And I also changed because I never was confrontational anymore because he kind of brought me down. So for some way, he helped me to be a better person because I was not argumentative. So there's so many things. And the thing is that I realized with this relationship that when we hear people talk about relationships, the last thing that we should do is judge, because you never really know what the heck is going on in that particular relationship. Like, when I tell people, oh, I found out he was married, but we still continued after, you know, people look at me, oh, you were a married man, or are you a homewrecker? But that's not how it went down at all. So, yeah. It's, you know, and that's where I think us as women, as a society, we always quick to judge people. But until you're in that position or until you're in that relationship, you never know.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, 4 years vested. And I'm not saying that it warrants you being able to stay in it. There's so many different dynamics. Oh, that's why the best thing to do is always come from that space of non-judgment, because you know what I mean? Because you never know what situation you're going to be in. Like, but for me, what it did, absolutely. For me, what it did was at one point I felt like, oh my gosh, I'm attracting, and they would all last only very short time frames. Mm-hmm. I'd date them 3 to 6 months. It would all end around the same time. It was weird. And, you know, my birthday's in December, and it would all always end during the holidays. And I was like, what is my karma? And I started to realize too, that it's a fine line in actually observing, being conscious and mindful of yourself. Because at one point I was closing my heart up so much, I couldn't even attract a guy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I had to find it in myself to love myself in all aspects of life, even just being by myself, right? Like, you know, it meant like, okay, I'm going to have these Friday nights by myself, sitting and watching Netflix, eating by myself. Yes. But it wasn't until I found that, you know, I opened my eyes up to, you know, the true love that I really deserved and that everyone deserves.
Yeah.
And because of that, that changed the way that I saw, you know, relationships moving forward in the future. And it's still,
this relationship really taught me so much about myself and about self-worth. It really opened up my eyes, because I thought, okay, this was it. And because he was treating me so much different than my ex, I'm like, yeah, you know, this is it. Mm-hmm. But really and truly, I was not putting myself first. I was not, you know, recognizing my worth. And self-worth is just so important. And it's something that I think us as women, and it's something that my daughter who's 20, I'm trying to teach her, because I don't think that, you know, as women growing up, it's not something that we recognize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, I've always heard you say, you know, there's always two sides to the story, right? Because another part of you has to look at the fact that when it didn't feel good or something didn't, why didn't you speak up? Because that was me too, right? I was never honoring my true feelings. Or sometimes you don't want to look like the woman that's jealous, that's, or you
I
don't.
I didn't want to bring things up, because I'm like, okay, you know, in the past when I did this, it would cause an argument. Or I would be told that I'm crazy or whatever. So you know what? Let me do something differently. Let me just, you know what? As much as I don't like it, I would bring it up and say, hey, you know what, hon? You know, you said you were coming over, but you never came and I didn't get a phone call. What's going on? And I would listen to the excuse. And in my head, I'm like, that's bullshit.
Right.
All right. You know, let's just go with it. You know, I don't want to cause an argument. On to the next. But
exactly.
You know, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're never truly honoring your feelings. If you look back now, you're just saying like, and that's been big for me too. You and I are actually the same age. And I've been a single mother for most of my son's life. Mm-hmm. And then it came to the point where it was like, almost like I didn't know what it was like to be in a relationship. So having to try and contribute like that in a healthy manner now becomes the challenge when you finally find a healthy relationship. There's so many dynamics.
Yeah, because I'm so used to, I'm like, am I going to even know how to sleep with someone in the bed? Because I'm so used to, you know, like sleeping by my younger son sleeps with me most of the time. But, you know, I'm so used to doing so much on my own. I cut my own lawn. Like, I'm so used to I clean my own car, do my own oil change, mm-hmm. do everything, right? So it's like, am I going to be able to allow a man to be a man in this relationship?
Yeah.
And that is something that I said to myself, I'm always going to have that conversation with that person who I meet. Hopefully, you know, I am like, do I even want to meet someone right now? And I said, you know, men who create these relationships or come into in our lives that do these things, they make us want to be Catwoman, just want to be by ourselves and not date any men. But you know what? I think as long as we realize our worth and we stick to it and we really understand that, you know, the way people treat us is we allow people to treat us the way they do, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I allowed him to treat me a certain way because I didn't stand up. I didn't stick up for myself or I didn't question it. So I said to myself, you know, that's not something that you're going to do. And there is going to be someone out there. I have to have hope. I have to have hope that there's good people out there, right?
There are, Trish. Yeah. There really are. I think you're well on your, and everything is always about the journey. It's always about, you know, like I was just having a conversation with a good friend this morning. There, you know, like when you're in the thick of it and you're going through it and then you finally pass that, you know, maybe that chapter or moment in your life, mm-hmm. you can only look back then and connect the dots.
Yeah.
But when you're going through it, you sometimes won't understand. Like there are oftentimes like, you know, everyone's all like, how come you don't have a boyfriend or how come you're not dating anyone? And then of course I'm going to look down upon myself like, yeah, what's wrong with me?
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. And you're going to look at yourself. Like I look at myself and I'm like, what is wrong with me? And I had to say to myself the other day, and I'm like, Trish, you don't have a tree growing out of your face. You're not bad looking and
you're beautiful.
A good heart. And there's all, God made someone for everyone. So I said to myself, you know what, maybe right now what I'm meant to be doing is exactly what I'm doing. Have this podcast, talk to people, network, meet people, because like we said, I would have never met you. So maybe this is my path to get to where I need to be.
Yeah. Having conversations like these. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And not only is it going to help you and I, it's going to help the other women that are on here or even help men understand sometimes what the women go through, mm-hmm. right? Or you know, our thought process. And yeah, you don't want to be like, especially when you first start dating, you don't want to be the jealous person. But sometimes those programs even pull up subconsciously. Yeah. Meaning to say, like, for me, like, sometimes these anxieties would pull up and it's not even I'm thinking about anything. My body starts doing something and then you start freaking out. And then you can't sometimes tell between, is it your, you know, like, a mental issue or is it your gut instinct?
So it's crazy that you said that because last year I got so sick. I got, it was March of last year. I've always been healthy, bill of health. Like I've all exercising, I eat well. I've always been healthy. And then all of a sudden last March, I started getting these chest pains. And, you know, my doctors, everyone did all of these, they thought it was my heart. They did all of these tests. They put me on different diets, thinking I was allergic to gluten, thinking all kind of things were happening, right?
Uh-huh.
I ended up having surgery in September of last year. And I had to remove my gallbladder and also a piece of my liver. Now, it started in March, earlier on that year, it was when certain things were developing and happening in that relationship. Now, stress, let me tell you, stress can cause so many different issues in your body. Mm-hmm. And I realized that point when I started to get sick, it had a lot to do with my mental health. Like I was just deteriorating, but I didn't recognize it. So when you talk about listening to your body and actually looking at what is happening to you because of a relationship or even because of your mental state, you mm-hmm. really have to focus on, you really have to listen to the signs that your body is telling you because yeah, girl.
Absolutely. I was like, you are just, you know, you and I are like this, right? In an audio podcast, Trish and I are just making a true connection right now just because it's true. You do have to listen to your body. Your body says everything. Sometimes even before your mind can conceive it, right? Like,
No, it's so true because I couldn't understand what was happening. And it was my daughter Someone said, Trish, do you remember when you were going through stuff with your ex? coming down to the end, you started suffering from anxiety and having panic attacks, which I never had in my life.
Even from your long relationship.
So in my long relationship, I didn't have it during, because I think my body, like, I've always been focused on taking care of my kids because I never had my parents taking care of me. Mm-hmm. I've always been focused on being with them. So we were always busy with after school activities or school, or we're always doing stuff. So I don't know if my brain or my body didn't allow me to break down at that point in time. But I think when it was coming on to the end of the relationship, when things got really bad, my kids wasn't in as much activities as they were before. And that's when I was taking on things. My mental health was at the worst. And I started having these panic attacks and these anxiety attacks that mm-hmm. I never suffered from before. And I had to work through those. And then it was that that made me realize that when I got sick last year, this other relationship, you know, it took a toll on me. I tried not to allow it to take a toll on me. But you know, when you suppress things, mm-hmm. that's the worst thing that you can do for your body and for your mind. When absolutely. You suppress emotions and suppress feelings.
No, absolutely. I'm so, and actually I became keen on that. Like I do, like I have like Reiki and energy healing.
Yeah.
And I, growing up, I had anxiety, but like I had, you know, when I talk about childhood trauma, it was more about watching the dynamic of my parents' marriage. Mm-hmm. And so that carried on into my adult years, and that yeah. created trust issues with me, with men. But like I said, I kept attracting the same guys, mm-hmm. you know? But it wasn't until I went to go see a healer, and she was talking about, because I said, I can't stand this energy, this weight on my chest, and I don't think it's mine. And she's like, there you go. She goes, that's what it is. Sometimes it's like energy is so strong. Like you'll feel it in your body, whether it's a projected, you know, whether it's projected at you or it's your own, mm-hmm. but those are keys. That's how amazing the body is.
Yeah.
It's already speaking to you before yeah. you even can mentally make the connection.
Yeah. Way before. Yeah. Like I think when I sat down and I read through some of my journals, because I stopped writing in a journal many years ago because I found that when I went back to read it, it was too depressing and it was too hurtful. And I said to myself, until I can write stuff in the journal where I can go back and be motivated and I'm lifted, I'm not writing any more things down, right? Mm-hmm. And if I had gone back, if I was writing stuff down, I would have seen exactly when this started. Wow. I would have seen exactly when it started. And the thing is that I think as women, we're like, I'm a mother, so I'm a natural caretaker. I always want to take care of people. Like he had other issues too. Like he had mommy and daddy issues. He had issues where in his marriage, you know, he was verbally abused. Men don't talk about that, but he opened up about certain things to me, right?
Yeah.
So it's like that automatic thing in me, okay, let me try to see what I can do to help you. Let me try to see what I can do. Putting aside my feelings, putting aside my hurt, I wanted to uplift him and motivate him.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Yes. No matter if they hurt you or not. Mm-hmm. And it's big to say that. It really is. Yeah. Because in an odd way, you almost heal yourself. Mm-hmm. Even if, because you know what? Yeah, because egotistically, you're like, you did this to me. You did this to me. When you stop playing the blame game,
yeah,
you know, and you honestly think about, that's when you'll get the authentic side of him. And maybe that's how he was able to fully admit the type of husband he was.
Mm-hmm. Well, he, you know what? Up until this day, he really hasn't come clean with me. And that's the part that bothers me. But I realized that I don't need someone to tell me their truth for me to live my truth.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's the thing that I think a lot of us get caught up on, is like we get caught up on the why, or I need to know the truth. I mean, you already know the truth, right? Like I already knew the truth. I'm not going to sit here, and I already know he's a narcissist. So I know he's going to come and make up some sob story and lie to me. So why am I waiting for someone to come and waste my time tell me some story. And that's not going to do anything for me. I have to take myself out of it. And I have to say, okay, Trish, what is it that you want out of life? Where do you want to go? And what are you talking about to people that, you know, what you want to connect with? Because I don't want to be talking about life and talking about relationships and talking about how you can move on. And I'm stuck and I'm taking five steps backwards because I'm allowing people who shouldn't be in my life. You know, that's not something that we want to promote, right? So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's all about, and there's so many different ways. And remember, we're all individuals. We've all have different traumas. We all have different insecurities. So you being able, you know what I'm saying? When you went from the 17-year relationship to the 4-year relationship, it was completely opposite. What gauge did you also have? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you're going to sit there and just like, how did I attract this? But everything is a learning lesson.
It really is. And the thing is, you know, I can beat up myself as much as I want, but my takeaway is that from that 4.5-year relationship, I actually learned a lot about myself. I learned the kind of woman that I am. And I realized that, you know what, I am a good woman because I was very faithful. I was very loyal. And all I wanted to do was build this man up and do what I'm supposed to do as a woman, even though I wasn't getting that in return. And I realized that, you know what, as long as I remain true to really who I am and be a good person and be kind, that's what matters. And I learned that, you know what, I don't hold grudges. I learned that I can't hate people. I learned that I want to be a better woman. I want to be a better parent. I want to be a better, you know, friend. And this relationship, it showed me a lot. It showed me that I can have conversations without yelling or swearing. Mm-hmm. You know, I can talk to a man with respect because I didn't know if I could have done that. So that relationship really taught me a lot. So I'm going to take the positives, and yes, I'm going to learn from the negative, but I'm going to say, you know what, it was a learning lesson for me, and I've been beating myself up on it, but I realized that I shouldn't.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, all women have to know that. I think the first step to healing is giving yourself the grace to first come from a place of non-judgment, right? And then, you know, go through the healing process. And it's not going to be easy. It isn't.
Yeah, and I think that's a mistake that we make as well. We don't give ourselves enough time to heal. We don't give ourselves like enough time to even, like, if a situation happens in a relationship, like, I think that I suffer from PTSD because, like, I keep reliving certain things like it happened today or it happened yesterday, and it hurts the same way that it hurts the same way over and over. And I'm like, why am I doing this to myself, right? And it's because I kept jumping back in and I wasn't allowing myself to process the things that happen or process the hurt. I wasn't giving myself that. And we don't do that. As women, we think we can take on the world and handle 5 or 6 things all at once. But really and truly, we need to learn to handle one thing at a time and heal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and that happens oftentimes with so many people, whether it's a woman or a man, they never give themselves enough time to heal. Then you carry the baggage from the last relationship, you project that on the other person, and then they go off. It doesn't work out. They go ahead and
project it onto the other relationship. Sometimes you project it onto your own family, your kids, your relationships around you, because I know that there's certain insecurities that I projected onto my own kids. And that is because of my insecurities, or it's because of my, you know, my codependency issues and stuff like that. And, you know, and that's what I said to you is, like, when you're really being authentic and you're being authentic to yourself, you tend to have better relationships. And it's not just romantic relationships, but better relationships with those people around you.
Absolutely. And that's why you attract some amazing people, you know?
And that's the upside of it. And that is why, you know, being open and vulnerable, it taught me that, you know, the people who should be in my life, is going to come to me is going to be attracted to me because they're trying to live their life like that. They yes. want to have that authenticity. They want to have people in their life who's going to be authentic to them. So therefore, they'll be authentic to me. So that's why being open like this, being honest and transparent, you know, it was hard at first. It's still sort of hard because in my head, I'm thinking, oh my God, should I have said this? But you know what? I said to myself, someone's going to listen to this and probably say, let me reach out to Trish. Or you know what? Probably say to themselves, you know what? Am I being authentic to myself? You know, it'll make them think. It'll make them ask themselves those thought-provoking questions. And that's what you want.
Yes. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Coming out and doing all these podcasts, whether you're hosting it or being a guest, it takes a lot. There's a level of it should be. There's this level of authenticity that comes out. And that's why I believe that podcasting is becoming so much more popular because it's conversations that are really just recorded and it allows people to just have a safe space with each other.
Yeah.
And talk about these things. And these are healing conversations for me. So that's why I enjoy talking and sharing about other people's stories, because I know that this will help. You and I have very similar experiences, right?
Isn't it crazy that when you listen to other people, like when we listen to each other, we realize how much we have in common with certain emotions or certain feelings or even certain circumstances in our life that I would look at you or you would look at me and say, oh, I never had thought that she would have had these similar issues.
Or oh, absolutely. Been,
you know? And it's not that it's refreshing, but it kind of gives you, it centers me and grounds me to know that, okay, you know what, Trish, it's okay. Like I said to you today, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to have those days. It's okay to be hard on yourself, but it's how you pick yourself up and move forward with that.
Yes, absolutely. Right? Oh my gosh. Well, you know, it always... these conversations, I could always go forever and ever. And I'm pretty sure you and I will continue to talk offline. But Trish, if there is anyone that would like to get a hold of you or listen to your podcast, could you share your either contact information and how to get a hold of you and then information on you know, your podcast?
Yeah, definitely. So my podcast is found on most streaming services. So Spotify, Apple, Google, it's even on Amazon, Stitcher. You know, if you contact or follow me on Instagram, which is at Strong Talk, STR0NGTALK, all of my links are there. And my email address is strongtalk101@gmail.com. I love hearing from both men and women, you know, whether, you know, you're inspired or whether you have a question or, you know, you just want to give a comment, an honest comment. And listen, I appreciate any comment because it's feedback for me. Feedback is always good. So,
yes,
you know, I appreciate it. So you can DM me. I'm also on Clubhouse at Strong Talk. So I have some rooms on Strong Talk that, you know, we talk about trauma. We talk about emotions. We talk about podcasting. We talk about relationships. So, you know, follow me.
Amazing. Well, this has been an amazing podcast for myself. It is definitely different, but I'm so glad that I got to talk on relationships. Other things you know, I've had so many guests and I just feel so blessed to even share this space with you. But like I said, I'm wishing you the best, Trish, and I'm pretty sure that I will be in touch with you and we'll circulate. Yeah. Right. And so I just wanted to say thank you to all the guests that have actually tuned into this episode of 8 Billion. I hope you enjoyed it just as much as I do. And please stay tuned for the next episode of 8 Billion Podcast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If it's moved you in any way, please review and share your thoughts or text me your thoughts at 949-247-2800.